In the last 2 years, you know, you always go through things, and, you know, it's amazing to be in front of people. Some of you have seen me when I got back from the Haiti earthquake, and you saw me when my children were adopted, and you saw me when I got sick and I almost died and I came here, and you saw me after Uganda when I'm really sorry about that because I was really jacked up when I came back from Uganda. And so you've seen me in all these phases of my life, and I claim to know nothing because in the last 2 years, God has just really taken me through some of the most difficult times in my family and just with situations around me, and it's left me in a lot of questions before God. And one of those things, as you guys, if you know me, you know I've struggled with my health. I have an autoimmune condition, and that's actually why I almost died. My body decided to get mad at my gallbladder and my appendix, and I tried to help my body out, you know, and explain that my gallbladder and my appendix is not the enemy, but it did not understand that, so we went into distress, and I went septic, and I was in the hospital for 31 days, and of course, they had to take my gallbladder and my appendix in emergency surgery. And you know, you find yourself in situations sometimes where you're asking God all these questions because, you know, in the world, we don't know what to do with that, especially in the Christian realm, because we're constantly asking questions like, is it the sin in my life? Is it unforgiveness? Is it all these things? And if you walk into the healing part of things, you tend to get a mixture of things that becomes a process in that speaking. And I am one of those people. I have a process. Typically, you know, we have First Friday at my church, and on Fridays, that's where you come in a building for healing, for prophecy, for deliverance. And I do have a process. When somebody sits down with me, I ask them what they're walking through. I ask them about their history, their family, and we go through a process because there is a lot of things in that that is just excellent, you know, because if you have unforgiveness, you need to get rid of unforgiveness. If you have these generational things attached to you, you need to get rid of those things. But what happened to me is that what happens when the process is not working? You know, what happens when you're coming to church and you are the good Christian and you are walking where you're supposed to walk and you're being obedient and you're doing spiritual warfare and you're doing the worship and you're feeling God and you're walking in those graces, but what happens when you find yourself in the hospital, or what happens when you don't have the answer, or what happens when people die that's just not supposed to, you know they're not supposed to die? What happens when we walk past a person that's dealing with addiction and they want to be set free, and they're still in it and you don't have the answer? What is the answer, and how are we supposed to walk in the environment and claim that we know God and we don't know the answer? And if you don't catch yourself, it leaves you in this anger. Because, see, we all have different gifts, so I'm going to be very honest with you, you know, with the gift of prophecy or with the gift of healing or with the gift of helps, we all have our gifts, and what happens is you get in this routine where you're like, this is the answer, and it truly is. Whether you're, it's hospitality, whether it's healing, whether it's helps, what we need you, the kingdom of God needs you. There's a cry for you. There's people in the grocery stores that need you. They need us to walk where we're supposed to walk. But you see, what happens is we get stuck in this place of, I am giving and giving and giving. I must not be enough. And guess what God said to me? It was great. And you're not enough. You are not enough. I'm like, you can't go tell people that. You know, aren't we supposed to be like the encouraging body? And we're supposed to, you're not enough. And you know, there was this mistake that I made that I was just, okay, let me get myself together. And today, I'm gonna be enough. I'm gonna be enough. I'm gonna be enough in my marriage. I'm gonna be enough as a mother. I'm not gonna lose it with my children. I have a, well, soon to be 7-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl. Nobody, you guys didn't tell me. When you saw me with these cute little children, you didn't tell me. You were supposed to tell me some things. And so all of a sudden, I have my daughter dealing with her things, and I have my son who is very dramatic, you know? Like, he got a red fidget spinner. He didn't get a blue one, so we're going to lose it. You know? And it sounds silly. You know, I talk about a fidget spinner, and I talk about him losing it, and I talk about these little things, but these little things add up, and they start speaking to you. And they start speaking this voice of not being enough. And then when you add real stuff to it, when you add real stuff to it, you're like, not only can I not get my kid the right color of fidget spinner, I can't pray enough. What is missing in this link? And so this cry brought me to my knees, and it made me silent. People say, come and speak here, and I would say, no. No. And so then God started dealing with me in a dream, and I had this dream. And in this dream was this mats all over the floor. And I don't know what this is, but I'm just going to make it a part of what I was supposed to make it of. Praise God. And so it was all these mats. And they were thick, and they were on the floor of a lot of sanctuaries that I have spoken. And I would wake up, and I would wake up trembling. And so I say, Lord, what is the deal with these beds, these mats on the floor? And at first I thought they were rugs, and then I decided they were mats, and then I just kept on seeing them. And I said, what is the deal with this? And he took me to a scripture in John 5. And he was talking about the pool of Bethesda. And what's really cool is the pool of Bethesda. You know, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir the water. And the first person that would get in the pool was healed. Now, you have to understand the amazing time frame of this. You know, we talk about the Holy Spirit coming, and we are walking in an age where the Holy Spirit is here with us. The gift of healing is with us. That is not the time frame of that. So if you think about it, it would be like, I saw this lake down the road, and it would be like the lake down the road gets stirred every once in a while, and when it's stirred, it never fails. When you get in it, the first person is healed. So let me go to the scripture real quick. I'm in John 5:1. And it says, later on, there was a Jewish festival for which Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, a pool near the sheep gate, which is important. This pool in the Hebrew is called Bethesda. And it had 5 porches. In these laid a great number of sick folk, some blind, some crippled, some paralyzed, shriveled up, waiting for the bubbling of the water. For the angel of the Lord went down and appointed seasons into the pool and moved and stirred up the water, and whoever then first, after the stirring of the water, stepped in was cured and of whatever disease of which he was afflicted. And there was a certain man there who had suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder. And in some translations, it says that he was lame for 38 years. And when Jesus noticed him lying there, helpless, knowing that he had already had been there a long time in his condition, he said to him, "Do you want to become well?" Now, I have to stop there because that would be like you going to intensive care and there's somebody going in for surgery to save their life, and you look at them and you say, do you want to be made well? I mean, and so that was perfect timing, really. That's what it would sound like to your ears. Seriously. You are striving, you are doing everything you can, and then some know-it-all comes up to you. Now, because you have to realize, this man didn't know he was Jesus. So it's not like Jesus came in the building, whoa, and he believed in Jesus, and Jesus said, do you want to be made well? Because later on in the scripture, it says, who was this that healed you? And he said, I don't know. So to him, it was a random person coming up, and here's all these people laying there sick. And he's been laying here, and he's been hoping for the water to be stirred, and he's had an illness for 38 years. And somebody with audacity that was walking came up to him and said, do you want to be made well? Man. And so let me tell you the background story of that question. I'm autoimmune, and at this time, I'm doing a hard workout physical training. I am doing cryotherapy, which if you don't know what cryotherapy is, it's crazy. They put you in the cylinder and they take it down to a minus negative 270, and you stand there for 3 minutes. And the reason I was doing it is because it brings down your inflammation for autoimmune people. I was doing chiropractic, I was doing supplements, I was doing gluten-free, and Jesus made me have this dream. God gave me this dream, and the question he asked me, and he told me to ask the church, do you want to be made well? And when I was asked that question, I was like, I give up? I mean, I get up at 5 a.m, I drive, I go work out, and then I have to do cryotherapy because I worked out. I'm doing the supplements, I'm trying to do all the, do I want to be made well? And then that same week, as I'm dealing with this question, I go to the doctor and he said, stop everything. There's something wrong in your blood. Just lay it all down. And so I'm like, okay, so I need to get out my bigger clothes again because, you know, I have size departments in my clothes. You know, it's like a store. And I'm like, because if I stop all this, and God came back that day and he said, do you want to be made well? And so as I started searching in the story, I looked up lame, and it says that unable to take effective action, helpless or powerless. And then it said that he was seized with anger and it lamed him. And it says, other words is powerless, ineffective, ineffectual, inadequate, weak, feeble, useless, worthless, futile. Man. And that's how I was feeling. And we all have things in our lives that make us feel that way. I was explaining to Kevin one of the things about being a mother is that at some point you always feel like you're not enough. Like you're not enough, you're not there enough, you're not enough. And so Bethesda is a house of mercy flowing with water, a sheep pool. Now could you imagine what a sheep pool would smell like? When I read that, I was thinking, so here's this man. Because, you know, when I think of a pool that the angel's going to stir, I was at someone's house, and they had this beautiful pool that was all clean and glistening in the sun. That's what I was thinking of, right? But this was a sheep pool. It's where they washed their sheep. I had a boss that had sheep. Sheep stink really bad. Especially right before, because they let them, right before they take off the wool, they stink. So here's this man laying by a sheep pool, a stinky pool that stinks in his own waste. Because you have to think about this, right? If he can't walk and he's lame, he's laying in his own waste. He's waiting for people to come and feed him. And his only hope at this point is that he's been waiting and he's been faithful And he has been there, and he still believes that when this pool is stirred, if somebody would just put him in the water, he would be healed. He's seen it over and over again. And after 38 years, he hasn't lost his hope. Man, I don't know about you, but I see this every day. So he had enough faith that he believed in the healing of God. He believed in the movement of God. He believed, no matter how weird this is, in this stinky pool, this sheep pool, it's going to be stirred, and one day somebody's going to put me in the water. Now, here's what we don't know. We don't know if he crawled there every day. We don't know if he was brought there and he's just laid there. We don't know who brings him food, but somebody had to, right? So somebody's bringing him food, but they're not putting him in the pool. You know, sometimes we have enough in us that we can take somebody into our lives and we're supposed to take them to a place, but we can't heal them. So we have to nourish them, we have to take care of them, but we can't heal them. And the person that was taking care of him had to believe with him that one day the pool's going to be stirred and he's going to get healed. Do you want to be made well? Couldn't imagine that all my faith is in this pool being stirred, and I have put my faith there, and I've seen God move because I'm still alive. Somebody's taking care of this man, right? You all agree? And I'm thankful for that. And this man is going to come and say, I see you here and amongst the sick. And I know Jesus knew that he had had it for a long time. And he's going to ask them, and what is the point of that question for us today? And the point of the question is I think that in this season that God wants to move in healing, we have to remember that we can have the faith, and we can stand, and we can walk in things, and we can be faithful. But God is asking, do you want to be made well? Because I have this plan, see, and I know that you have expectations, and I have a great love for you, and I have a great place for you, but you know, when he looked at him, and the guy said, well, of course, you know, he's like, but when the water is stirred, and somebody always beats me, and there's nobody here to put me in. And you know, if I read it right, I would think he's thinking, okay, this man is going to wait with me, and he's going to put me in. And instead, Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. So the whole take up your bed thing really stuns me in this whole story, because, I mean, like, did he really have to take up his bed? Well, I mean, he could just get up and walk. So I had to read about beds. Take up your bed, which, take up your bed. Read about beds. So back then, in the mats that they would lay on, first of all, was identified from where they were from, because the material that they had, they came from different areas. So his family background was where he was from. Interesting enough, I asked Pastor Kevin for some extra blankets today, and he gave me a blanket from his father. And so I put that on the bottom today because it's where you're from, where your generation, what is your family background. And I don't know about you, but there's some things in my family background that I don't really want walking with me. In fact, I've done a lot of deliverance trying to get away from it. And then this next one it has a design on it, and the reason I put that is because one of the things in their bed is they had markings of who they were. So if you were from that area, you could walk in and be like, oh, that's such and such, they're from such and such tribe, and they've been there for such and such time. And then I put the pretty pink on top, because what happens with us, and I don't know about you, I mean, this is about me, right? What happens with me is that, like, I know I have a bed, and I know I have a past, and I know have those things, but God has brought some healing to it. But, you know, we don't need to put that on everybody. So I put a nice covering on top, right? And I dress in the right clothes, and I am the right person. I put some flowers on top, you know, because God is good. He's good all the time. I believe in God. I believe in his love. The truth is there's this bed that I'm laying on. There's some things that I'm in that I don't know how to get out of, but I see his faithfulness, because in the midst of that, I am nourished. He's taking care of me. My bills are being paid. So I don't want to complain because I am only here by the strength of God. I'm only here by his presence. So I don't want to complain. But on the inside, I know I still have this. But until Jesus comes back, until Jesus comes back, I'm going to be obedient. And I'm going to put some flowers on here. And we don't have to talk about this. Do you want to be made well? And so when he was asked this question, he had to release his expectations to a man that has no identification to him. Think about that. Now, he might have felt something, but later in the story, they said, "Who was it that healed you on the Sabbath?" And he didn't know. He said, "I don't know." Afterwards, he just kind of went off in the crowd. And then later, Jesus came back to him, and he said a great statement that I'll get to in a minute. Do you want to be made well? Jesus knew that what he was asking of him. See, when he said, "Do you want to be made well?" he knew what he was going to ask of him. He was going to ask him that he had to pick up his past and be made whole. That he had to pick up what was made for him, the nourishment that was made for him. He had to trust that when he picked up this bed, that the nourishment that came by every day, he was going to lose that. He had to lose his expectations that his healing was going to come from a pool. He had to rise his faith, because he had a faith in the pool, and he knew who he was worthy enough to be thrown in the pool. But he has been lamed here for 38 years. I don't know about you, but I love this man because of his obedience. If I was lame for 38 years and you came and asked me, "Do you want to be made well? Well, just pick up your bed and walk." And I'm like, do you think if I could pick up my bed and walk that I would have done that? Like, there would have been a dialogue, right? I'm just being honest. And if you're one of the people that wouldn't have a dialogue and you would pick up your bed and walk, pray for me. Please. But I would have a dialogue. I have headaches. And they come, and it's just part of my autoimmune, and I go through season with headaches. And, you know, when you have a headache, everybody has a remedy for a headache. You know, caffeine, you know, this and that and this and that. And I'm always really, 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 really nice with it. But I had a headache. I had a migraine for over a year. And so I had to learn how to be functional in it. And I did all that stuff, right? And so could you imagine there's something that you deal with in your life, you know, a back pain, a headache, or whatever, and you know what works, and you know you've tried all these things, right? And then some man comes in and says, "Get up and walk." And so another thing that he had to lay down was, he had to lay down his blame of why he wasn't being healed. Because one of the things that it says later on in the chapter, in verse 8, it says, Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your bed, and walk." And instantly the man became well, recovered his strength, picked up his bed, and walked. But that happened on the Sabbath. But before that, in verse 7, it says that, "Sir, I have nobody when the water is moving to put me in the pool. But while I am trying to come myself, someone always takes it the steps." So he had to lay down his blame. Like, I am this way because of my whatever. God, please forgive me. I am this way because, you know, my family passed, but thank God I have made it this far. And this is what he's saying to Jesus. He's saying, I've made it this far. I'm close to healing. I'm right here on the verge. But, you know, there's nobody here. You know, they just don't put me in. And Jesus said, lay down your blame of others and pick up your bed and walk. Also, he had to hear a command from someone he didn't know and do it. Now, I can handle commands. I had to work on it, right? To be obedient, to be a servant. But to hear a command from someone you don't know in an area that you're comfortable in, that you're living in, and then to respond, man, wow, do you want to be made well? God is moving in such a season and in such a time, and I feel it in this church. I feel healing in this church. And to be honest with you, when we talk about things of healing, it's just not necessarily my area that I talk in, but there's such a rush of healing in this place that God said that you must talk about healing today. And I want to tell you, this place is rich with people who know the way to healing, and it's all different, because there's going to be a time where God's going to call you to do some things, and he's going to say, do you want to be way well? And you know, that might be responding to an altar call and you come up and you're healed, or it might be going through therapy, or it might be going to that doctor, or it might be that surgery. But God is saying, I'm in the midst of you, and I want to talk to you about healing, because it's in the midst of you. Because you know, nothing good doesn't come from my hand. And I hear the Lord say that it's a season where we have to lay down our expectations and instead see what I was taught in the church. See, what I was taught in the church is that to be made well, you just kind of lay some things down and you don't visit it again. You know, like, I was abused and my family passed and there's a lot of fear I have, right? And what I was taught was you lay it down and you make it real pretty. And then you walk away from it and you make yourself well. But God said, no. What I want you to do is I want you to pick all that up. I want you to pick up everything that identifies you. I want you to pick up your past that you're afraid of. Cause see, it's me. Those names no longer title you, but oh, I need you in the earth with your whole story. And I want to make you well, like your whole self. I don't need you to look pretty for me. I don't need you to be happy all the time. Thank God, because I just want you. I want to hold you. I need to hold you. And you know what? You know, we talk all the time about how, oh, it's not of me. It's not of me. But yet we try to make a pretty picture because we want to make ourselves good enough to carry the presence. And he said, you're good enough. With your whole story, you're good enough. You're good enough with your whole story. So pick up your bed. Pick up the things that identify you. Pick them up. Pick them up and come and walk with me. Pick them up and come and be with me. Pick them up. I need your whole story. I need who you are. See, we're moving in a time where we need your voice. We need the story of your past. We need that time, you know, that time when you were a kid that you don't talk about, that, you know, that time as a teenager that you don't really have words for. We need your story. We need who you are. And the God is crying out for you because, see, it's not about who can speak or who couldn't speak. It's about the person that down. It's because I traveled with the ministry. And I watched the people flock around the speakers, and I said, I will never pick up a microphone. This is not where the work happens. I'm really glad that I could be here today. Don't get me wrong, it's an honor. But this is not where the work happens. It happens when we leave here and we pick up everything that identifies us and we go to somebody else and we say, because of your past, because of who you are, you have a vocabulary that I don't have. You know what to do. Like, when I was in the hospital for 31 days, I was like, I need to write a pamphlet for my church on what not to do when you come visit somebody in the hospital. And some of those things I've done, so until you're there. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to see your neighbor made well? I hear the cry of the church, the impossible to become possible. Sometimes when we're in situations of impossibility, we turn to blame each other and ourselves and their faith and sin and whew. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well is the answer. And I knew today was going to be unique, but what I really feel in my spirit, is that okay? What I really feel in my spirit is, I see such rich people in front of me. You have such a calling. You touch people. You feel invisible. Your heart is burdened with some things that you seem like, whew. You know, there's this homeless guy that I give money to, like, I don't know, every time I see him. And every time I give him money, I'm like, Lord, I want to be like Peter and John. Silver and gold I have none, but much as I give up to you, rise up and walk. And God said, I need you. I need you to pick up your bed first, Kelly. I need you to pick up your bed. And I want your whole story, your whole self. Do you want to be made well, Kelly? Do you want to be made well? Because there's some things I need you to look at that you've been taught to lay down. There's some stories I need you to grab that you've never wanted to share. In fact, there's some people that told you, we're going to keep this between us to keep your namesake. You know, it's best for the family. And God said, I call you mine. I call you mine. I call you my sons and my daughters. And in this time of healing, this cry that's coming out of you, I first come to you and I say, do you want to be made well? Because I want you to pick up your story and walk. And I feel a calling of God in this place of people that's drawn to this. And God is asking you questions right now. And that's between you and him. And I asked you in this time, in this presence, if you want to, in the action of what he's talking to you about, if you want to respond to him, you can come up to this altar. And this is what I promise you. Nobody's going to touch you or pray for you without permission, because first, this is between you and God. So what I'm gonna do is I'm going to have him sing a song, and whoever else he needs. And I would like us to stand up, and I'm going to go back to my seat. And for a season, it's just us and God. Because what God is asking in this place to you, do you want to be made well? And what he's also giving you permission is he's saying, you know, all those things that you laid down that you didn't think could be a part of this journey, I want all of you. I want every bit of you. I want the wholeness of you. That's why he said, pick up your bed to him. Because he said, not only am I going to make you walk and the ability to walk with me, but I want all of you. Your waist and everything. Because, you know, he was lame, so he was laying there in his waist. And I want to tell you, God can restore the things that we have wasted. He can excel you to a place and a time. And he said that I just hear him say, I am going to excel. Because there's some of you sitting here and say, I've wasted so much time. And he said, it's not a waste. It's not a waste. Don't look at it that way. I want all of you. And so at this time, we're going to sing a song. I'm going to give the service to him. And just come and be free at the altar. In Jesus' name.